coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast, coming at you live from Homerville, Georgia. This week, we're going to be talking about a shooting of a inmate in Atkinson County from the Lakeland Police Department. He was a Lakeland Police Department officer shot an inmate. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Clinch Memorial Hospital and their new family practice that they are opening today, which is on Thursday. We'll talk about awards that the Clinch County News and Lanier County Advocate won in the recent Georgia Press Association Better Newspaper Contest. We've got some area athletes that made All-State for baseball. We'll talk about that. A former Clinch County band director has been accused of some crimes. We'll discuss that, as well as a new basketball coach for the Clinch County girls basketball team. Lanier County had a story, Lanier County Advocate had a story about Wendy Moore, who heads up their Leadership Lanier program. That's one thing we'll go over, along with the Willacoochee City Council. I'm Lynn Robbins. I'm joined by Blake Pittman.
Yep, yep.
And I'm back after a week off, and I appreciate Laura Nipper filling in for me last week. And Blake, y'all doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
And we're going to get back to business with the Behind the News podcast, which is brought to you by our friends at Lutz Brown Pegler Manley Insurance in Homerville. You can stop by and talk to Eric and all his fine staff for any of your insurance needs. The Shack Cafe in Pearson, Country Cabin Restaurant in Atkinson County, and Roberts Milling Company. We appreciate those folks for sponsoring the Behind the News podcast. We're going to be back with all that and more after this message from one of our sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Milling Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Welcome back, beautiful podcast people. I'm Lynn Robbins. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast, that goes behind the headlines in Clinch County, Atkinson County, Eccles County, and Lanier County. And one headline that will be coming up this week, we have a story, a brief story on our Facebook page today, is about a Lanier County, or actually Lakeland City police officer, who shot a inmate on his way to, I believe, Douglas. And Blake, you were the first person to tell me about this. Tell me what you heard initially, and then I'll talk about what we got.
All right. Well, I got a text about 11:30 Tuesday night from Sheriff David Moore over in Pearson. Now, he's usually very good about texting me when something breaking has happened. Mm-hmm. Try to keep us informed before they go to the bigger outlets like WLB or whatever. And I got a simple text from him that said, just wanted to give you a heads up. Lakeland Police Department was transporting an inmate to Coffee Jail in Coffee County in Douglas. Said the inmate and the officer got into it in the middle of Atkinson County. Officer shot the inmate. The inmate was en route to Coffee Hospital. Now, he said the GBI was being called, and that's all he knew as of 11:30-ish Tuesday night. And then, of course, I gave you a heads up on it so you could check into it or whatever, but that was all that I was told about it.
And we followed up with it, and of course this came out, the incident happened on Tuesday evening.
Yep.
Our paper came out Tuesday, so it wouldn't have been in the Lanier County Advocate. But we followed up with that with a Facebook post, and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation is investigating the shooting of a prisoner by the Lakeland Police Department, or officer. It happened around 10:45, as you said, on Tuesday, and as the prisoner was being transported, His name, Roy Kyle Mathis, 48. He, according to the GBI, attempted to escape the transport vehicle while it was traveling on Highway 221 in Atchison County. According to the GBI report, an altercation ensued between Mathis and the unidentified officer, with the officer firing his weapon, striking Mathis. Mathis was transported to Coffee Regional Medical Center, where he was treated and then also later moved to Savannah Memorial for treatment. And from our understanding, according to the GBI, he was in, you know, serious to critical condition. So this is a serious matter. No officers were injured in the incident, according to the GBI report. The GBI continues to investigate the matter, and the Advocate will have more on this story in its next edition. Now, there was, after we reported this, there was some feedback on our Facebook page, which we appreciate, and they were asking why we put the information about where he was taken to the hospital. And that was in the GBI report that they gave us. And they also had a press release where they did that. And, you know, when somebody gets shot who's in the as a prisoner of our, you know, tax-supported institutions, the public needs to know about it. And we're going to publish the information that we know to be factual and attributed. And if that information later on proves to be false, then we'll correct it. But that's the information we received from Georgia Bureau of Investigation. We'll follow up in the next couple of days and find out more information, hopefully, and find out how this, you know, happened. Because you would think that the prisoner was, you know, secure in the car, but something obviously happened there, and we'll find out what it is, hopefully, and we'll report on that. And so that's an unfortunate situation for everybody involved. A fortunate situation is happening in Homerville today. We're bringing this, or we're recording this on Thursday. Later on tonight, from 5:30 to 7, Clinch Memorial Family Practice is holding a grand opening. And this is an old Dr. Hilsnitz building near the old hospital on Huxford Street. And it's my understanding, Blake, that what a guy named Clay McKinnon will be serving as the primary provider for this new family practice, which is accepting patients starting June 7th, which is tomorrow.
Yep.
And then later on, I think a guy is coming in who's going to be a full-time family physician. We're going to have two physicians here in Homerville, Georgia, which we haven't had in quite some time.
Uptown now, baby.
Full-blown doctors. And so, and you know, Blake, when you were a kid and when I was a child here, we had three or four full-time doctors that That's lived right. in Homerville and practiced
here all the time.
And we have one now. I mean, we have some other, you know, healthcare providers, but Dr. Sam Cabarrubias is the only full-time, full-fledged doctor living here.
They also delivered babies at the hospital here at that time.
Yes. And, you know, here's the thing, Blake. Our population hasn't changed.
Yep.
And we've actually gotten older as a community because of all the baby boomers. So we actually need physicians now more than we ever have. And so this is good, good sign. And congratulations to Clinch Memorial for making this happen. And, again, that's going to be 5:30 to 7 tonight. And you can stop on by at Dr. Hilsnitz's old office. Okay, we're going to keep on going. All right, also in the Clinch County News this week, you'll see that the Clinch County News won 7 awards in the state newspaper contest, and that was held this past week on Jekyll Island, and myself and my wife went. And the Clinch County News won awards for sports column. We won first place in that. That was columns I wrote. Also, second place in humorous column, second place in serious column. We were second place in the special issues and sections, and also third place in that same category. And that was for our football, the Panther Preview Edition, and then the special state championship section that we did. So we won second and third place in that. We won third place in Spot News Photo. That was for the picture that Laura Nipper took of the coffee corner explosion, which I think she should have got a lot more credit for that.
With her iPhone, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, she ran down to where, right, I mean, seconds after it happened, And she didn't know, you know, she didn't know if the whole block was blowing up at the time. And so I thought, hey, I'm glad she got recognized. Third place in sports photograph for Cindy Ruiz, and that was for a picture she took of Tresman Marshall diving in the end zone for football. The Lanier County Advocate also won for layout and design. We finished third for that. So congratulations not only to Cindy Ruiz and Laura Nipper, but our whole staff and also our advertisers and the subscribers, because obviously without you paying for newspapers, paying for your ads, we couldn't afford to do that. Of course, I'm disappointed. I thought we should have won more awards, but I think a lot of that, Blake, and we've, you know, won first place for the whole general excellence before. In second place a couple of times. You know what it boils down to, Blake? It boils down to how much time I spend preparing for the contest.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. It's not really how great a job we do. It's how, if I can have enough time to really pay attention to it and turn in the awards like they should be. And I did a poor job of that.
Yeah.
Of course, last year, the Axon County Citizen, I basically have given up on us winning any awards for them, because we submitted a headline writing award, unbelievable, about a woman putting
high narcotics in her wig and her weave.
And that didn't win. And I looked last year, and there's also, here's another factor. It depends on who's judging it.
Yeah, and they're
because
doing
this year,
trending.
The winners were full of puns and, you know, things like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the year that we didn't get selected for that, they were like real serious headlines.
Yeah.
And so we just did the wrong year, Blake.
That's right. We just have to get a lot more punny with our headlines, and hopefully we can catch them.
And yeah, it just depends on who's judging that year. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate our sponsors. We're going to have a word from one of them right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, my favorite podcast people. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. We're going over the headlines from the Clinch County News, Axon County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo from the past week. And I'm going to talk about something that's not in any of our papers this week, but will probably be in a coming edition this week. And this is from the Fitzgerald Herald Leader. And it's about Jonathan Kelly, who was the Fitzgerald band director. He also, prior to that, was the Clinch County band director. I'm going to read a little bit from the story from the Fitzgerald paper, and we'll understand why we're going to have a story about it. And it says, additional charges have been brought against former Fitzgerald High School band director Jonathan Kelly. In addition to being charged with aggravated sodomy on the first victim, Kelly is also charged with sexual assault. A second former male student has come forward since the first victim, and Kelly is also charged with aggravated sodomy and sexual assault in the second case. Kelly came to Fitzgerald High School in 2013 from Clinch County High School, and recently signed a contract to be the band director at Worth County. Major Chip Bowen of the Ben Hill County Sheriff's Office said Wednesday that they're working to identify a student victim at Clinch County and another at Troy University, where Kelly attended schools. Quote, witnesses have indicated there are other victims, Major Bowen said. If there are other victims, we want to talk to them. Sooner would be better than later. Major Bowen said that he doesn't believe Kelly will be given bail. A Superior Court judge must grant bail in this case, and no bail or bond hearing has been yet scheduled. Bowen added that if anyone has any information on this case, they should contact the Ben Hill County Sheriff's Office at 426-5161. Victims and witnesses may remain anonymous. We say that to you for that reason, because apparently in this case they have They're identifying another victim here in Clinch County from when Mr. Kelly was the band director here at Clinch County and the Clinch County schools. And they're asking for any witnesses or victims to contact the Ben Hill Sheriff's Department. So if you're listening, you know somebody maybe who was a victim or a witness or whatever, the number 426-5161. We got this information from the Fitzgerald Herald Leader. And also want to explain, this came out about a week and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah, somewhere in the area.
And it was on WALB, and it was in the Fitzgerald paper. And, of course, Mr. Kelly had been the band director here. But at that point, there was no indication that anybody in Clinch County was
no
involved.
No allegations or anything.
There were any victims. At that point, it seemed like it was an isolated incident. So we didn't run the story. Because it didn't affect anybody here.
That's right.
We didn't know there were any victims. Now that there is at least a possibility of another victim here, we're going to have something in our paper this week and encourage any people to come forward that know anything about this and assist in the investigation. Again, that number, 426-5161. That's the Ben Hill County Sheriff's Office that's looking for information on that. Another thing that's not in the newspaper that apparently was decided on recently was the girls' basketball job at Clinch County High School. Recently, Tanya Oberry resigned not only as a basketball coach but as a teacher. I think she's going to focus on her business pursuits. And Chase Daniel, a longtime coach here, is going to be the new girls basketball coach. And Chase had also replaced Tanya as the middle school basketball coach.
That's right.
Tanya had coached the middle school girls, I guess this was about 5 years ago.
Yeah, somewhere in that area.
Yeah. And had won a championship, a middle school championship. She then was promoted to be the head girls basketball coach. Had two rough seasons, and then or three, maybe two.
Yeah.
And then last year, of course, they went off and ended up going to the Final Four.
And she had a lot of those girls back that she won that middle school championship.
Oh, yeah. It was almost the same group.
Exactly.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Chase replaced her as a middle school basketball coach and went and won, I think, two championships in a row with a lot of the same players. So he's going to be coaching just like Tanya Oberry was, the same girls except a little bit older, and hopefully we'll have the same type of success that Tanya had and continue. So Chase is a great coach, also coaches football and baseball, and I'm sure he'll do a good job. So congratulations to Chase Daniel, who will be leading the Pantherettes. And one big thing about that is they had to pull the trigger on that pretty quick.
Yeah,
because I went this weekend where we were playing, the boys were playing summer basketball, and they're playing summer basketball all throughout June, where they went to the varsity boys went to Jessup on Saturday and played Ware County, played Jeff Davis, and played Charlton County. And I went to the coming back from Jekyll, we stopped by because both my sons were playing. And the interesting thing was, Ware County, I didn't get to see Ware County play Clinch, but Ware County's coach, Kingston Clark, who is a Clinch County High grad, was on the 87 state championship team, former teammate of mine, which has led to his greatness. And he's the head coach of Ware now. And Kingston went to school, I don't know if many people know this, but Kingston, after we won a state championship, he went, and I think he went to Odessa Junior College in Texas, where his roommate in Odessa was a guy named Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson later played for UNLV and was an NBA All-Star with the Charlotte Hornets.
Larry Johnson.
Kingston then went into coaching. After he graduated from college, he coached, I think, in Florida for a while. He went to Pierce County, was successful there. Went to Lowndes, was successful there. Went to Woodstock, Georgia, which was successful there. And now he's at Ware. And he was telling me he had a tough year the first year. But the thing that Kingston does is he goes into places that don't have success and he builds that program. And usually in year three or whatever, he builds it back up to being something great. Woodstock had not been in the playoffs in 100 years, and he got them in the playoffs after about 3 or 4 years. So the Ware County folks, I know, hope that they're patient with him. And also they got our boy Jason Strickland, another Clinch County High grad, is the football coach. So, you know, they Ware County can't be Clinch County, but they can, you know, they get our guys to help them succeed. So it was good to see Kingston and good to be involved in summer basketball. And good for Chase that he's there, because they're going to be knee-deep in summer basketball as well. All right, got a story in the let's skip to let's go to the Willacoochee City Council. Blake, you had that in the Axon County Citizen.
Yeah. So basically, what's going on is the Willacoochee City Council. You know, normally an issue like this comes up from a concerned citizen, but this time it's not. It was all council. Apparently, they're having an issue with the Willacoochee Market, which is one of the gas stations right there in the middle of town. He has a dumpster sitting out on the property. It's not close to the building. It's out kind of beside the side street, and it's not locked or anything. And so, by the trash guy comes on Tuesday, I think, to pick it up by Tuesday afternoon. The thing is full again. It's overflowing, and animals get in the trash, and it blows everywhere. And some of the council, they're pretty upset, pretty hot about that. On front page, if you look, Harvey Williams sent me a nice picture of the dump, and of course you can see from the picture, Lynn, that are the dump, the trash dumpster. Yeah, if you can tell from the picture that there's bags on top of it, there's trash beside the can, and the council is, I mean, they're upset because it stinks. They said there's a food cart that gets placed out there every day, and so basically they were discussing what to do about that. Mayor Sammy Newsom said that he had spoken with the owner before about it, and nothing has been done. He asked, you know, that they let him talk to him again. He said if nothing's done about it, he'll have the police contact him and write him a ticket till they get it situated. They also threw around some ideas of things that he could do, like the new one trip that opened up, and actually placed the dumpster in like a stall type area where it can be locked and only accessed by store employees. And and if you go back and read my headline, Lynn, I put this story together after you told me that the pun headline won this week, and so
you tried to do that.
I took
out Coochie, but I left in the other stuff. So that was great.
Yeah, well, I know. You know, everybody over there, that's what they refer to it as. I didn't figure you'd let it fly when I, but I had to try anyways. And so that was the hot item.
What does the headline say again?
It says trashy lots in Willacoochee has council in the dumps. I thought that was pretty great. That's my goal for now on, Lynn, to take one headline and at least make it a pun.
Every week, if you can do that. Blake, I'll liven up that front page.
Call
I'm
me Punzilla. I mean, and, you know, and they heard, and the rest of the meeting was pretty well run of the mill. They did hear a request from Councilmember Malcolm Jones. He's looking into grants to install what he referred to as a lily pad device in the city, which is basically like a miniature water park, has water cannons and stuff of that nature in it. And he claims that the grant would pay for everything they need to install it. They're trying to contact Turner County right now to see how they installed theirs and kind of what they went about. But everything else was pretty well, you know, run of the mill, just paying bills and approving minutes and talking about roads being fixed and trimming limbs and all that good stuff that they discuss every month. So, but here's a, just throw this warning out there. If you're listening to this and you're one of the people that are putting trash in that dumpster, you may want to not do that anymore. Just because the mayor ended up and he ended that part by saying, we want a cleaner town. We all have to chip in and do our part. He said, if I have to get a tag number of people dumping trash, he said, we will. He said, also, if I have to go through the trash to find names and addresses in the actual trash bags, he said, I'll do that too because it has to stop. So if you're taking your trash down there and leaving it on top of the dumpster or beside the dumpster or anywhere other than where it's supposed to be, you may want to stop because they're about to start cracking down on that pretty hard.
You know, we had a situation many years ago where I did a similar story about the county talking about trash dumping on the side of the road. It was actually an old Mexico road here in Clinch County. Yeah. And I was talking to one of the deputies, and I said, you know, what can you do about that? And he goes, well, one time we went out there, they had trash bags. We went through, found names on, you know, mail or whatever. and it was a local minister.
Huh.
And they went to him.
Busted.
And they said, why was your trash and trash bags on the side of Old Mexico Road? And he lived sort of near there. And he said, somebody must have stole my trash.
We got a trash bandit on the loose,
man,
guys.
Of God.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing with Old Mexico are the tires.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
enough tires down tired there.
Couches and TV
good
sets.
Good Lord. Or dead deer carcasses yeah. after hunting season or whatever. But
Lord. All right, away from the trash and over to the Lanier County Advocate. Got a great story by Tracy Jones. Tracy and her husband, Bob, do a great job of being staff writers over there. And Bob has a story this week about a joint meeting between the city and the county and the Board of Education discussing or hearing about funding sources that they can use. But when Tracy's is about Wendy Moore, and Wendy Moore sort of heads up the, or actually does head up the Leadership Lanier program they have there. And she also basically helped start the chamber over there. And it's a good story about how she did that and what impact she's had on that community. And my wife's involved in leadership, and she's trying to get a leadership group here in Clinch County. They're going to try to do some youth leadership. But Lanier County is really ahead of the curve in terms of leadership development within their community. And so a shout out to Wendy. And if you get a chance, read that story by Tracy Jones. It's very good about that program and the chamber and what Wendy Moore does with that. All right, I'm going to do my little fake news segment, Blake.
All right.
Where I complain about things. and this week, it's still people on the Facebooks and in social media still seem to think that illegal aliens are getting lots and lots of freebies and welfare from our government, which yep. just isn't happening. There was a meme that I saw four times this week, and it said, instead of spending $900 billion on welfare for illegal aliens, we need to use that money for our veterans.
That's right.
Which, you know, the sentiment, I you know, is fantastic. I agree with the sentiment. Although $900 billion, that's a lot of money. And for somebody to think that we're spending $900 billion on illegal aliens yeah. welfare, anyway, it's not happening. The only benefits, federal benefits, that anybody that's an illegal alien that's not a citizen in this country are getting is emergency medical. If they're that's in right. an ER, if they're having a heart attack, if they're, you know, something like that, the hospitals and medical providers are not allowed to not help those people in their time of need. That's the only benefits they're getting. So if you see these memes, and I've gotten to the point, Blake, it's upsetting me so much that these people are spreading these lies and seem to do it just, they don't really care whether it's truth or not.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
putting on there, say, you know, here's the Snopes thing. Here's the fact check. Why are you doing this? Why are you spread? I don't understand yeah. it. And these are good people, nice people. But they
just not fact checking their stuff before they post
it. But even when I tell them that, I don't know if they're just putting these memes up and sharing them and then just not going back to Facebook, because I see them, or maybe they don't understand that little thing at the top right that has like a number
yeah.
are when people respond to your posts.
Exactly.
I don't think they understand it.
Or either they post so much they just don't
they're just posting. Yeah. They're not even looking at what people are responding to or whatever. Anyway, it's egregious, and that's my thing for the week. People, illegal aliens are not getting welfare. ! That's all.
Yeah, people, check your stuff before you put it on Facebook. Or
oh, let's talk about Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure. What y'all tell me about this week, and tell me what y'all doing next week.
This podcast was an adventure this week, Lynn. You know, we had to fill in a hole there with no more Game of Thrones. Oh, and yeah. so to start off the podcast, we went over some funny headlines from around the country. Some yeah, you just have to listen to it, and we explain them. And the headlines really they speak for themselves. And then as part of a discussion, we gave our thoughts and insights on the Girl Scouts. Before you get all up in arms, we think the Girl Scouts is a wonderful organization, but we have some theories about their cookies and how addicting those little things are and how they always seem to pop up whenever you want one of them. So check that out. Our top five list this week was top five Disney animated movies that we would like to see made into live adventure or, you know, anamorphic movie. Not a cartoon version anyways.
Which is what they're doing right now with Aladdin.
Yeah, like, they had Dumbo come out, yeah. Aladdin's out, Lion King's coming out next month, I think. And so it seems to be the trend. So we took advantage of it and discussed our top five movies that we would like to see them either make live action or remake all together. This next week we're going to talk about our top five most overacted movies. You know, those movies you see where the acting is really, really cheesy in it because the actors are trying really, 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 like, they're trying too hard to be the character that they're assigned to be. And so we're going to discuss those and, you know, a couple other things we got in mind for this week. So check us out. We'll probably record it on Sunday and it'll be out Monday or Tuesday. You got anything else, Lynn?
That's it.
Well, before we get out of here, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column's about this week?
It's titled, Plagiarism Has Been Given a Bad Rap. And it's about how, since imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, that plagiarism is like super flattery. It's in flattery.
Yeah.
And I give examples of how to plagiarize successfully. And I'll give you just one of the tips to get you started. Do not plagiarize the next couple of words after by.
Yeah.
For instance, if you decide to plagiarize Moby Dick, do not plagiarize the part after that that says by Herman Melville. That's a rookie mistake that I learned the hard way on several occasions. And it's just how to successfully plagiarize. Mostly you need to, you know, copy off of dead people because they aren't as
they can't argue
adamant about that.
Dead men tell
and,
me it
and, you know, it's just fun for the whole family, so check it out.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
That's it, man.
We will be back next week, and we appreciate our sponsors here at Behind the News podcast, those being the Shack Cafe over in Pearson, Robert's Milling Company, and the Country Cabin, the delicious Country Cabin in Jackson County, and the delicious Let's Brown Pegler Manly Insurance.
Delicious insurance.
the
mouthwatering deductibles.
We thank those folks for sponsoring this podcast, and if you see those folks, tell them how much you appreciate it, if you do. Next week, we'll be back. We'll be going over some of these things we discussed today and give you updates on them and anything else that goes on during the week in Eccles County, Clinch County, Atkinson County, or Lanier County. So for Blake Pittman, this is Lynn Robbins saying thank you for joining us on the Behind the News podcast. We'll see you next week.